May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. I thought when Bracken came down to read the gospel, I thought, man, I should have told Bracken to read a different gospel because I'm going to teach from a gospel place. But it actually fits perfectly. So this is something that I've shared on a Sunday morning here at CTK sometime last year or two. But I really felt strongly the Lord wanted me to speak this again today. And I think God's saying some things about this kind of stuff. And so let me just read this to you from Matthew chapter 12, verse 1. At that time, Jesus went on the Sabbath through the grain fields, and his disciples became hungry and began to pick the heads of grain and eat. But when the Pharisees saw it, they said to him, "Behold, your disciples do what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath." But Jesus said to them, "Have you not read what David did when he became hungry? He and his companions, how he entered the house of God, and they ate the consecrated bread, which was not lawful for them to eat, nor for him, nor for those who were with him, but for the priests alone. Or do you not read in the law that on the Sabbath the priests in the temple break the Sabbath and are innocent? But I say to you that something is greater than the temple here. But if you had known what this means, 'I desire compassion and not sacrifice,' you would have not condemned the innocent, for the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath." There's a bunch of stuff you talk about, but the point is Jesus was trying to say to them is like, my men were hungry, and people, even that simple need, are more important than the rules or the religious form. It's compassion that God's looking for and not sacrifice. And the same story is told in Luke chapter 6, but it doesn't add that little part to it. So I won't read the story again. It just says in verse 5, "And Jesus was repeatedly saying to them, 'The Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath.'" Then it goes on and goes, says, "And it came about on another Sabbath that he entered the synagogue and was teaching. And there was a man there whose right hand was withered. And the scribes and the Pharisees were watching him closely to see if he healed on the Sabbath, in order that they may find reason to accuse him." See, this is again, the Pharisees were the evangelicals. They were the conservatives. They were the born-again Jews, you know what I'm saying? They weren't the liberals. And yet, form and structure and was more important to them than people. And Jesus came to reveal to them the true heart of the Father. And the true heart of the Father is that he so loved the world he'd even give his own Son for people. It's people that are created in his image, not anything else. It's people he loves. God so loved the world, even broken, fallen people. But he knew what they were thinking, and he said to the man with the withered hand, "Arise and come forward." And he arose and came forward. And Jesus said to him, "I ask you, is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do evil, to save a life or to destroy it?" And after looking around at them all, he said to them, "This man, stretch out your hand." And he did so. And his hand was completely restored. I know that Anna and Roxanne prayed for somebody with a hand in Africa who was healed. And yeah, I so longed to see the manifestation, the kind of things. On this trip, they were part of it. There were just countless thousands of people who got healed. Every time we go, there's more increase. And I believe we're going to see more manifested here. But here's the thing that Jesus was saying that's so important. Having said that compassion is what he's after, and not sacrifice. I ask you, is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do evil? I say, to save a life or to destroy it? Now understand what Jesus is saying here. He said, here's a man with a withered hand. I can do something about it. And for me not to do something about it is to participate in evil. So which is better? To leave him in this condition, which is a result of the fall, and participate, just nod my head to evil, or to do something about it? I know Christians all the time in America say, you know, what happened? How did they take prayer out of school? Because they said, well, the church just let it happen. They didn't rise up and stop it. It was true. There was enough Christians in our culture in the 60s, they could have stopped it, but they just didn't do anything. And to not do anything when evil is trying to prevail is to participate in the evil. That's one of the lessons the church learned back then. You and I are the body of Christ. We carry the life of Christ. Jesus says, the Father sent me, so send I you. And because you're in Christ, Jesus, therefore, is living his life through you from heaven's perspective, from a heavenly place. That's what you're in union with. And from heaven's perspective, people are healed and set free and fed and made whole. Now, not just talking about physical healing, but what about emotional healing? Or what about poverty? Or what about brokenness? Or what about loneliness? Or whatever it is, you and I, because we are in Christ and we carry his life and his anointing and his compassion, we can do something about it. Yet how many times we just pass through our life every day and it never even crosses our mind that if I'm in union with Christ, Christ wants to keep telling the same story through me told here through that borrowed body. Now we're the borrowed body through which he lives. And he's driven by compassion. But he isn't just driven by compassion that says, oh, I feel so bad about what you're going through. Jesus knew he could do something about it, and he did. You and I can do something about it. And to not even think about doing something about it, in that passive sense, like when prayer was taken out of our schools, we participate in evil. For the Lord to open the door for the gospel and for us not to share it is wrong. We can do something about that person's lost condition. To not lift up our eyes and see the harvest of sick people who Jesus wants to touch and heal is to participate in the fall. Because we can do something about it. We have to become, we talked about this, those at CTK Sunday, like the spirit of Elijah when he prayed for that boy who was dead. Nobody had ever been raised from the dead before. That was the first time ever. He didn't have to a tape series from some church to hear about it. He didn't even get a word from God. Because when he started praying for the boy, he's questioning God as to why God let it happen. He just figured he could do something about it. Because he had carried the power of God in his life. He had seen God do miracle day after day when he fed him with the ravens. So he was just very intentional. Very bold. Very audacious. Because he carried the love of God in him. And the older I get, the more driven I am to not just pray for the sick or pray for the broken or pray for the hurting, but because I'm in Christ and he's living his life through me, I can do something about it. And it's going to take boldness and audacity. It's going to be being willing to be embarrassed or being told no in Walmart or Winn-Dixie or wherever we're at, to simply be available to him and go for it and see what God will do. That's one of the things, and I know that some of you are leaving for Africa tomorrow, that I think that's the real deal. People talk about it's because we're so poor. We see the same kind of signs and wonders in Brazil. They're not really very poor. And there are poor people there, but thousands of people we ministered to weren't very poor. They were highly educated. They were upper middle class in their culture. But they believe that we come, or somebody comes, that they can do something about it. And the Africans in the end, why will they walk for days for one of us to pray for them or go through all they go through? They really believe somehow we come, we can do something about it. And that little simple thing, and if we go believing we can do something about it in Christ, signs and wonders and miracles happen. In America, it doesn't even cross most Americans' mind that God can do something about it, even among American Christians. But God's going to get us to that place. It's going to get worse before it's going to get better, and it's going to get a lot better. When we finally have a culture of Christians who believe we can do something about it, and we're very intentional about that, with audacity, asking God for new things we've never seen before. Being more concerned about that person getting made whole than them maybe rejecting us. And we talked about the fear, the sneer of our peer keeping us from doing something about it. So this isn't a word to condemn you. I pray that it'd be exciting to you. You actually carry the same Christ with the same anointing You don't have to pray for more power. You were born again with it. You were born into the fullness of Jesus. He accomplished all that at the cross. You had to pray for more. You don't have to pray for to get more. You got it all in Christ. So go for it. Release the more. Look for opportunities. Be a nuisance. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit.